It's time now to turn to God's Word in the Gospel of Mark, and as we do, let's invite the Spirit's presence into our reading with our prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Make us to know your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you and the God of our salvation, for you we wait all day long. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, reading verses 1 through 8. And as we read together, listen for what the Word of God is saying to you in your lives, in your situation today, whatever it may be. Hear now the Word of the Lord. The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Comfort, comfort now my people, declares the Lord. The words of Isaiah chapter 40. The words that are pulled right from Isaiah 40, continue on. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. I love those words from Isaiah 40. Words of comfort for a people who are in desperate need of comfort. The context for Isaiah chapter 40 is the exile of the people of Judah. They have been warned repeatedly that if they did not practice justice with their poorest, with the least of these, that God would send an army to invade and carry them into exile. And that's exactly what happened. The Babylonians. And then the Babylonians were conquered, and the next group came along and freed them and allowed them to go back to begin the rebuilding process. And these words from Isaiah the prophet, not, did you learn your lesson yet? Not words of vengeance, not words saying, if you haven't learned your lesson yet, all this is going to happen again. Right? That's what we say with our kids. Did you learn your lesson yet? If you don't learn your lesson, Sinterklaas won't come and we're going to put your slippers away. But these words from Isaiah, instead of have you learned your lesson, we hear words comfort. Comfort now, my people, and prepare the way for the Lord. Enter into this overgrown mess. When the people return back to Jerusalem, they find the walls torn down in crumbles. There are ruins. There are weeds that have overgrown. Nature has taken over. It's this wilderness place. The place of the Lord has become a place of wandering. And so it's fitting that Mark chooses these words to introduce us to John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, in case we're too nervous about saying that John is a Baptist. I mean, you know, we wouldn't want to prioritize Baptists over us good Reformed folks. A funny side note, our next song is On Jordan's Bank, The Baptists Cry, and there's an apostrophe in the S. But I have found this song out on the internet with a typo leaving out the apostrophe, suggesting that it's on Jordan's banks that the Baptists cry. But we know that they're so full of emotion that they'll cry at anything, no matter what. We love our Baptist friends, and for any who are worshiping with us today who are Baptists, we especially welcome you. John the Baptist, he is a wild guy, and yet people flock from literally all over the whole Judean countryside, and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. All of them. Imagine an entire city pouring out of the city to go out into the wilderness to see this weird guy eating locusts, wild honey, wearing camel skin. I mean, he probably stinks. He probably looks like, you know, who knows what, right? Your imagination can probably run wild with this guy's looks, and yet there's something powerful in what he has to say. This was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Imagine, this guy is the most famous guy in all of the countryside, right? He's got people coming from miles and miles around, and yet his message is not, look at me, and look at how popular I am. His message is, just wait. You think this experience is great? You think the experience of confessing your sins and being baptized here in the muddy, stinky waters of the Jordan River are something wild? Well, just wait. I'm baptizing you with water, but the guy that's coming after me, well, he's so great, I'm not even worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. I'm baptizing you with water, but he is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Mark's gospel is wild. We don't find in it any birth narrative of Jesus. We barely have any resurrection story at all. It's just fast-paced. It just hits again and again and again. When you read it, and we're going to look at it thoroughly over this next year, immediately this happens. And then after that, immediately they go and do this. And there's this sense of urgency at what's going on. And the title of this in Greek is not Mark, by the way. The title of this is actually the first verse of what we read. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The entire gospel of Mark is the beginning of the good news. I think we could use some good news, couldn't we? You know, I'm not sure if any of you follow the Reformed Church in America on Facebook and Twitter or not. But yesterday morning, something really tragic happened. Middle Collegiate Church in the village, East Village of New York City, burned to the ground yesterday. The present structure was erected in the late 1800s. It has a ministry dating back to the first Dutch settlement in what was then New Amsterdam. And they have such an impactful ministry of what they call radical love. And I've been there on several occasions, and many of my friends were ordained in that church. So many of those friends came to faith through the ministry of Middle Collegiate Church, and their structure burned to the ground, and it is tragic. And yet, the good news in such a devastating story is that no one was hurt, no one was injured, and they have a promise to that community that the building is a building, but their community as a people of faith will continue on in the radical love of Jesus Christ that they have been proclaiming since the middle of the 17th century will continue on in that place. What they are doing there and what churches all over the world today are doing is preparing the way for Jesus Christ. They are creating space and opportunity and a community for people to come and experience the saving love and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Whoever they are, whatever they are, whatever they do for a living, whatever their past, whatever their present, a church proclaiming that their future is found in the loving and saving arms of Jesus Christ. And that is good news. The word gospel is from the Greek evangel. Evangelism, good news. It's literally proclaiming the good news. And this is the good news that the church proclaims. But I love how Mark begins this. This is just the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ. And what disciples do with that gospel is the continuation. What we do in preparing the way for the Lord is a continuation of Mark's words here in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why this gospel ends so strangely. It doesn't end with the disciples up on a mountaintop with Jesus watching him ascend into the sky. It ends with women who have been told to go and tell Jesus' disciples that he has risen, and then being too terrified to say anything at all, ... The conclusion of the gospel is an invitation to the church to take on and continue the good news. And how do you do that? By going back to the beginning. Repentance, confession, and then affirming who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for you. And so this Advent season has opened my eyes a little bit. I have been known around these parts as the church Advent curmudgeon, saying that there will be a moratorium on Christmas songs as long as the color purple is here. But you know what? Curmudgeons can change. Part of our preparation, part of this is proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And it turns out there are other ways to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ than singing minor key songs all the time. It turns out that some of the preparation that we do for Christmas is actually filled with joy. You know, we hang decorations on the tree. And yesterday we pulled out some of our other decorations and we read some of our books. And I have heard of churches that on this Sunday sing Deck the Halls with boughs of holly fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, because that's what we do in Advent. We prepare for this celebration. And that preparation does involve repentance, and it does involve confession, but along with that is forgiveness and excitement and having something to look forward to. And so today, at the conclusion of our service, we are going to commit deep heresy by singing, "Go Tell It on the Mountain That Jesus Christ Is Born," because that's what John the Baptist would have us do. Proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's how we prepare for his coming again. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for these words from John, this baptism of confession and forgiveness, and for the promise of one coming who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And it's that Spirit who guides us into this season. And so, Lord, we pray that as we move throughout this season, that our preparation would be filled with joy, and that that joy would spread to all of those that we come into contact with. Help joy to be a part of our preparation in this season of Advent. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today is from words that we know so well in the Apostles' Creed. Let's stand together. People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.